Walk With Us on the Road to Hell, an actual play podcast by Queen's Court Games.
See the bombs falling down, not to mention the fire. There's a lion in my bed, slowly moving towards me.
Remembering is only a new form of suffering. Charles Baudelaire.
We watch as a bloody knife clatters into a sink. Somewhere out of frame, an almost animalistic cry is wrenched from a man's throat. He has a grasp onto the sides of the basin, and we see they are covered in blood. They weren't gripping the sides. You could tell they were shaking. "You've been doing so well, Paul," a voice croons from the shadows. "You're not real." The person known as Paul cries out as he backs away from the mirror. For the first real moment, we can tell that this isn't our time. The man's clothes make this clear. "You're not real," Paul repeats again as he slowly backs into a corner. We watch as this man slowly folds in on himself, grasping his legs and trying to make himself as small as possible. "Oh, that is where they are all wrong." A harsh chuckle as we watch the knife be dragged over to Paul's feet. The shadows seem to be alive around this man, tormenting him and pushing him to worse and worse acts. "I am real, and you know what will happen unless you do exactly what I tell you to do." A sudden light causes the shadows to retract, shrinking back away from the hallway. Just for a moment, we see a smiling man among them before he steps back and vanishes. We don't see who opened the door, but a feminine form comes over and kneels before the man. "Oh, fuck. What did you do?" Paul's hand grasps a knife. We watch as he looks up at this woman. "Only what he told me to." The knife is plunged towards this person and the camera cuts away. Back in our normal time, we pick up exactly from where we left off. The door opens and one detective, Leo Kilgariff, enters the comic book shop. You all can see him now. This person who clearly thought they were off duty for the day, the rolled up dress shirt sleeves, buttons slightly undone, currently see the crucifix that he has, looks at all of you and sighs, says, "You know, when I came up here, they told me it was easy. Nothing bad ever happens in Marlin Bay. They were fucking lying. Come on, we should all sit down to have this conversation."
Right. From the other pocket in my jacket, I pull a silver flask, take a big old swig of that shit, and I'll sort of like offer it around to the others.
"Take that." Take a big swig and then pass it on.
"It's not great. It's not great."
"Nope. Don't need it to be great. I need it to be strong." Yeah, I take a swig, make a face, hold it out to whoever's gonna take it.
"I'm not taking, because I think someone needs to be sober."
"Joke's on you. I've never been sober a day in my life."
"I am also going to pass."
Leo will take the flask from you, take a swig, and then hand it back to Lola.
Take another swig, and then I will put it away.
"You're about to tell us that you are a magic hunter, too?"
Not in so many words. I used to work in D.C. Saw weird shit on a regular basis. Didn't think too much about it because, you know, fucking so many people. But when, you know, bodies start turning up, drained of blood, and strange government agencies come in to, you know, take over my fucking case, one starts digging. Leans up against sort of like the counter and everything, crosses his arms and says, "You know, there's a lot of weird shit out there. I just dealt with the blood-sucking kind, mostly. Small little group in the city itself. We tried to help people and take out those who were causing problems. Yeah, at least until they got wind of what we were doing. And yeah, then I left the city. There's a lot of really just bad things out there. And whatever did that to Julian and Cameron, it's not something I'd seen before.
So if we do need to figure out what the fuck is running around Malin Bay, you got like a fucking database we can access, detective? I'm assuming we don't want to let this thing just tear through the city.
I have a bunch of notebooks. Whatever remains that, I wouldn't call it an occult library, but a friend had a lot of books. I was never too good at the research thing. Don't have them on me. They're back in my apartment. But I'll bring them by.
Yeah, I hope you're not too attached to those, because I think those are mine now.
Just treat them well. The person who they belong to is important.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess my first question... Did the EMT say anything about Julian?
Julian is being taken to St. Germain Hospital. They think he'll be fine. A lot of internal bleeding, but as long as he's stable, he should pull through.
Internal bleeding. Pen, we might want to get you checked out just to be safe.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I'm bleeding internally. It's the wound feels deep.
We should try and get you to the hospital sooner rather than later.
Oh, that's gonna be so bad.
We just gotta figure out what we're gonna say happened. I grab the flask and I take another sip and I just say, hey, we could stab you for real. Then there'll be a wound.
I mean...
I was kidding.
One of the doctors does owe me a favor. I'm going to take a look at Penn. Just not put anything in the system.
What is it, like a house call situation?
Yeah. Yeah. I helped him with something. Mother T back and he owes me.
Zoom, can you get him here?
He picks up his phone and looks at the time and says, yeah, that fucking night owl will be awake. Dials the number and says, hey, it's me. And he gives the address of the thing. It's just like, cashing in the favor. Be here as soon as you can. Someone's hurt.
At the mention of the hospital, and after what Leo has said, I'm going to very slowly take an empty blood bag out of my pocket. You said there's shit that drinks blood.
Yeah, I called them blanks.
I'm sorry, fucking what?
Yeah, that's a stupid name.
I didn't make it up.
But what is it?
Vampires.
Sounds like some Walking Dead runners shit. That's stupid.
Okay, so like Nosferatu, Dracula, Count Orlok shit.
Some of them can be, yeah. Some of them can also look incredibly normal and people you pass every day.
Rory Teller, what do I know about vampires?
Give me an intelligence occult roll.
5 successes.
You've got a pretty basic knowledge of how the kindred act in like World of Darkness, and there's a bunch of groups, they do weird things, fire, beheading.
Do I know anything about turning?
You do know that, you don't know exactly how it happens, but people can be turned into vampires, yeah.
I'm going to look at the blood bag and stare at it very, very intently and think about Cameron and kind of shake my head a little bit and just go, oh, you don't think they're... Do you think they turned her?
I think she... be a lot less on a slab in a morgue.
These things are weird. I don't know exactly how someone gets made into it, but I do know that there's a lot of different groups of them.
You think she's gonna get embalmed and buried and rise in the next 5 days?
It's not nearly that long.
That doesn't make me feel better.
Usually, from what I've seen, usually the following night, one day, so Cameron would be awake by now if she was.
Who told you to feed that bullshit story that Cameron fell?
The sheriff.
And are you digging into that at all, or?
As much as I can without drawing attention to myself.
Cool. What do you got?
Cameron left the party at the time that you gave me. Everybody, multiple people at the party said they remember seeing her leave with Julian. A lot of people commented on how weird this was because they had broken up. Then a lot of weird things happened. There are a lot of several security cameras mysteriously lost footage from around town, and there's a lot about what happened that doesn't add up, and I think we might have learned what caused it tonight.
Well, there's a little bit more.
For my own peace of mind, I'm assuming you're not acting as a detective while we're talking here.
No, I am definitely not anything that's got me laughed out of DC. I don't want to do that again.
Good, great, good. Then I can tell you this and I'm not going to worry about my rap sheet getting any longer. We went and talked to Julian. After we talked to you, he doesn't remember seeing Cameron that night. But we have footage. We saw footage of him leaving the campus and heading that way, but it looked like he was sleepwalking.
Which, if we're dealing with vampires, makes a little bit more sense to me.
I was told they can do weird shit with your head.
If you look at them, which would mean there's a vampire in town.
I'm gonna pull up the coroner's report on my phone that I did take, all of their notes, and I want to see if it was established. Was Cameron completely bled out?
Cameron was not bled out. There was a massive internal bleeding. All of the blood was still inside where it should be.
This is... no. But whatever the hell this is, and I'm going along with Crazy Town right now because that's where we're at. If monsters and everything like that exist, a vampire did not do this. I know it might not be the television version that we see. That thing wasn't feeding. Not on blood. Cameron had a normal blood volume, as much as you would expect from a normal, otherwise healthy person. If there is a vampire running around drinking out of fucking Slurpee pouches, and I throw the bag on the ground, apparently that's a completely separate issue than the thing that's running around killing people, which I'm gonna lose my shit over later.
I shudder a little bit at seeing the empty blood bag on the ground.
Do I clock that?
I don't know, Mason. Are you trying to hide it?
A little.
Well, it does sound like a roll needs to happen at that point. We'll do a composure subterfuge versus a wits awareness.
Two successes.
Okay, so now I have three successes.
I got 5 with a crit.
What did you get, Mason?
Yeah, I got 1, okay? You guys went so hard.
You all read Mason for filth.
I'm not going to say anything, but I am going to tuck that information away for later.
I'm not going to say anything, but I'm assuming that I'm like kind of leaning on the wall next to Mason. My shoulder just kind of brushes him briefly.
I don't immediately respond.
Leo will look at you, Haven, and say, where'd you find this?
It was in a trash can in the coroner's office.
Yeah, speaking of the coroner.
Oh, yeah, by the way, we broke into the coroner's office, too, but you're not here as a cop, so I don't really give a fuck anymore. Nope.
Whatever this thing is, I think it used to be something else, and I'm going to pull up the enhanced screen grab on my phone, and I'm going to show it to him.
Yeah, he's taking a look at it, and just like, well, I can see a face there.
There's something about it that is itching at the back of my damn mind, but I cannot put my finger on it. I need more time. I have a few databases. I could probably run it through if I get back to my setup that, once again, you did not hear this. My setup doesn't exist.
It's at that moment there is a there's a knock on the door.
Damn it. Front or back?
We'll say back.
Everyone just... And I head towards the back door.
I imagine it's got some sort of peephole in it, so you can verify that it deliveries and things like that. You see a man in his probably mid-40s, like salt and pepper hair, beard, looks a little tired, wearing casual clothes with a carrying a doctor's bag.
Even so, I'm going to say, who are you here for?
I was told there was somebody who needed medical attention.
I need a name.
Wasn't given a name.
The name of the person who called you.
Leo Kilgariff.
Somebody's getting in to see the wizard. And I open the door.
Well, nod at you. Enter the room. Leo and this man share a nod before, you know, he moves over to in front of you, Penny. I don't think any of you go to the hospital very often.
Go for regular checkups. Still on my parents' insurance.
I'm gonna be so real. I think I see doctors.
How am I the normal one?
It's a great question. Haven, you do recognize him. He's Dr. John Langley. He will sit in front of you because I imagine Penny is sitting down. So he'll pull a chair over and he will take a look at you and say, okay, where are you injured?
I am double hoodied up. So I'm assumed that one is a zip up and then I've been wearing a pullover. So I unzip to reveal, like magic, a second hoodie. And then I will show the wound. Basically just wait for this guy to tell me what I'm supposed to do next.
Now, as he does, he watches, he pulls on a pair of latex gloves and is going to start sort of just examining, see, asking you the simple questions of like, you know, how much does it hurt? Does it hurt when I do this, this, this?
I cooperate.
And so there isn't all that much that he can do for something like this, but he does say, well, I don't believe that you have all too much bleeding. Anything should be turned into a bruise within the next day or so. And he, out of his bag, is essentially going to put your arm in a sling and just say, for the next few days, just try not to move it as much and keep it in the sling as much as you can. That'll help it heal faster and you won't have to deal too much with the pain, because it'll be secured.
Okay. Thank you. If it gets worse, do I call you or do I call? And I'm gonna just like kind of look at Leo. Like, who do I call?
Call me, and he will pull out his card and sort of like a card with his cell phone number on it and hand it to you and saying, if it gets worse or anything and it doesn't seem to be healing, call me. I'll make sure that's all off the books.
Okay, that's good. This is gonna be a lot to explain when I get home. I won't go home. I'll just go to the laundromat.
Or you?
My uncle works at the laundromat. My uncle owns the laundromat. A lot of this is weird.
I was about to say you could just stay at my house.
True. He knows that I'm out, he also is part of the family business.
Well, doctor, thank you so much for coming by. And I'm like stepping in to quickly like usher him out.
Looks gives you all like a quick look at just being like, anybody else injured?
Just a little bruised up, but should be fine.
Well, get out of your hair.
Please do.
Thanks,
and he'll like gesture again towards the door.
Don't be a fucking dick.
Nod at Leo and say, we are square. And Leo nods and says, we're square. And Dr. Langley leaves.
So about the coroner, you know that itch I get sometimes, Leo?
Yeah, you've mentioned it once or twice.
I felt it just before we left the coroner's office. And pretty sure our coroner might be something more than what she is telling everybody. So how long have you been in Marlin Bay again?
Like 3 years.
Okay. That's 3 years of, I'm going to guess, having to visit the coroner every so often or talk with the sheriff or whatever. So if there's more that you have, now might be a real good time to start talking.
Well, I never noticed anything with Dr. Moran. She is quiet and keeps to herself. Got a small house outside of town. Never had any reason to suspect her. And the sheriff has been one that I have suspected before, but lacking information to move on. Yeah. Gut instinct only gets you so far.
Well, since I'm now being made aware that there are family businesses dedicated to this little fun hobby that we find ourselves in, do you ever reach out for help, or you just sort of looked at it and thought, nah, it's not going to be a problem?
I wasn't aware that there was anyone else here. Wasn't aware. It's not like we have a network.
There is a network.
And I wasn't aware of the network.
Yeah, because it just sounds like you're beyond freelance. Like you just did it, which is not, is, I'm not, that's not a bad thing. I'm not.
I was going to say, it just sounds like you're bad at your job.
Well, I don't think.
Yeah, all of my friends are dead. So yeah, I can say we were bad at our job.
Yeah, it sounds like you fucking suck at it.
I don't think this is an occupation.
Okay, all right.
That he studied for.
Avon, please don't ever say something like that again.
I don't say anything.
Okay. So let's assume worst case scenario. This thing disappeared in a puff of smoke after I smashed it against a fucking wall. I'm really gonna go out on a limb and say that this thing's not done.
It's very unlikely.
So, we have its attention, right?
Yeah, for better or worse.
Okay. So, where do we go next? What do we do? Because if this thing knows our faces, it's clearly intelligent. It went after Cam on one night and Julian the next. So
it could also belong to someone.
What?
Oh, well, now above table storyteller. Should I also roll to see how much I understand about what, not necessarily just ghouls and familiars, because there's a lot of supernatural creatures that can do a lot of shit like this.
Yeah, this one will be an intelligence occult roll. Won't add in your specialty because this is less of stuff that's usually covered in folklore.
I crit 5.
Honestly, stories of angry spirits aren't always that uncommon. Things like that exist. You've heard stories. All cultures have angry spirits that come for revenge or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Something about this, especially with how it vanished suddenly, could quite possibly be a spirit of some kind.
So it could be an angry spirit, which lots of cultures have types of stuff about those. So there's different ways that they could come into this world and be stuck here, or worse, you know, you hear things like deal with the devil and stuff. That's that can be quite literal. I wouldn't know 100%. That's kind of my dad's specialty. So
right.
He punches ghosts for a living.
Okay. I'm just gonna barrel right through on this one. If it knows our faces, if it can come back and find us, I'd say the best thing to do in that case is to find it first. Or at the very least, see if there's something we can do to make it harder for that damn thing to find us. I don't intend to die in this fucking town. Whether that be by vengeful, angry spirit, creepy thing, or otherwise. So.
No one ever does.
No shit. What do we do? How do we figure out what it is? How do we fucking kill it?
Screw it. You all have a car, right?
I got a bike, but sure.
I have a car.
We'll go back to my apartment. You can look through the books, see if there's anything there. We can figure out other things. Something about this all feels targeted. The first target was Cameron. Why Cameron?
It's a wonderful question.
That seems like the very top of this fuck you Sunday.
Here's my question. How do we know there's just one?
We don't.
Fucking great.
Maybe Julian can give us more when he wakes up.
Is he going to be okay? Or the moment he wakes up, is somebody going to walk into his hospital room and put a bullet in his brain?
I wasn't worried about that until you said that.
You need to protect him. He called.
I will get you the books, and I will go, and I will sleep in his goddamn room if I have to.
You shouldn't do that alone.
He should be. I don't know what kind of cleanup crew those government guys you were talking about might have, but at least from the creature, he probably should be safe. Hospitals are well known for being extremely well lit.
I don't know anybody I work with well enough to trust them with any of this.
I would almost suggest the moment that he wakes up, he be brought to one of our respective spots. He's kept with us. I hate babysitting, but, and not to throw your badge under the bus, but if the sheriff can say, don't look into this to you, and you have to acknowledge that, we don't have to worry about that on our side. So,
yeah, once he's awake, I'll let you know. Fuck it. He pulls out keys from his pocket, takes one off, and we'll just hand it to you, Mason. And just like, you know where I fucking live, so.
All right. Hopefully got some decent booze.
There's beer in the fridge.
It won't be for long.
That's fine. Other question. It's been bothering me. Cameron didn't happen to give her phone to any of you.
No, that was the first thing I looked for.
Wasn't among any of her things.
It no. Wasn't. We checked at the coroner's office.
Yeah.
Her clothes were wet. She wasn't.
Yeah. Another thing that found weird. But you can do things with your whatever that you definitely don't have. Maybe we can find out where her phone is.
I can try.
Yeah, well, best of luck. I'm gonna go make sure nobody tries to off Julian.
Yeah.
I'm gonna walk Leo out, and before he gets too far, I just say, hey, you text me the moment that things get weird.
He'll nod and say, I will.
Okay.
You do the same.
Only if I feel like it.
While they're being gay, I'm going to Leo's card now. I'm going to put that in my phone. Probably under a different name, you know, just to keep it a little bit extra protected. But eventually, I will send him my dad's contact information. So that way, hopefully, maybe he can be in the loop a little bit more in the future. And by in the loop, I mean as much as in the loop as as fucking freelance hunters can be in, which is surprising. It's, please just picture everything that I'm referencing right now as fucking John Wick's goddamn assassination guilds, where some people are in it and some people aren't, but everybody's got that fucking phone. Yeah.
Similarly, if I can get a hold of that card, I'm gonna put it not in my actual phone, but in my fucking burner phone. Also, that text message from Zan.
Yeah.
I'm gonna respond real quick.
Yeah. What do you say?
What do you need?
It's like a minute or so later, the Dav will text you back and say, "Oh, you know what, Lena and I like. Got any more?"
Yeah. I'll respond. Gonna be a late one, so fair warning.
We're closing at the bar. We'll be here all night.
I'll send the little salute emoji.
Yeah, well, are you all heading over to the detective's apartment?
I guess.
I'd say so.
I got a stop to make first, but I'll meet you there.
Get your flashlight on you?
Yes.
Good.
As we're heading to the car, I am going to walk up next to Mason, and I'm not going to look at him. As I say, you want to tell me what happened back there?
Detective's apartment's about 20 minutes away. Should be able to get there relatively quick.
Redirect with your situationship. That's fine.
Normally, I'd have some bullshit that I could give you, but I don't right now. So, all I'll say is, as shitty as this is, and as shitty as I sounded, there were worse ways for you to find out about this. And I'm sorry.
I need you to know that I get that there are worse ways. But the best way would have been not fucking at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust me, we are in the same boat. In that regard,
I'll tell you one thing. Don't worry. You'll never run out of bullshit to give me. And I head into my car.
Yeah.
There's a rev of a motorcycle engine, and I peel off, headed towards the bar.
The rest of you get in Haven's car and start driving to Leo's apartment. Lola, the bar is not far. Several blocks over, out of the range of all of this weirdness. Eventually the streetlights return. It's a Saturday night, so the Salty Sip is certainly busy.
Of course it is. I'll pull my bike in the service alley around back. And I will walk in the back door like I fucking own the place.
Mm-hmm. As you do, you walk in the back door. Kitchen is a little chaotic. Everyone is here. You know, people calling orders. You see people behind the bar, and sort of leaned over by one of the lockers is this Hispanic woman in like her mid-20s, her long dark hair sort of pulled up in a tight bun, wearing the waitress's outfit. Looks at you and smiles and says, "Lola, great to see you. It's Lena."
"Hey, dollface. Special delivery for you."
"Sure I can't tempt you to stick around?"
"Nah, you're not my only customer tonight."
Oh, well. I mean, if you do find yourself circling back, said Zab and I are closing the bar tonight, so it'll be like 4 a.m. when we get out.
Tempting. Where is that sumbitch anyway?
We'll look and say, he's slinging drinks at the bar.
All right. Can you trade with him real quick?
Yeah. I'll give you a wink and you watch as she slides out, slides behind the bar, taps him on the shoulder, gives him a wink, and without like pausing anything, instantly hands her the drink that he's working on. She picks up where he left off. It's like nothing happened. And he, this man, and you know, also in his mid-20s, and he's got that, you hate it so much, it's the, I look like I just woke up and I look fucking amazing. Look.
Yeah. Like a fucking scumbag.
Exactly. Give you a smile and, you know, say, always love to see ya.
Yeah. I lean back against the lockers, like my foot propped up, and from the inner pocket of my boot, I will pull a little dime bag.
Was one of the lockers that's open, doesn't have anything in it, but he moves over to it like he's trying to get something out of it. Like out of his pocket, he sort of places a small thing of money, enough for the transaction there, and says, yeah, sad you're not gonna be joining us.
Lena gave me the update. There's a small chance I'll be by later, but otherwise, you know where to find me.
Well, you know, gotta make good on it. And, you know, give me, Lola, give me a quick intelligence and resolve roll.
Fuckity what?
Give me an intelligence resolve roll.
I'm gonna use a willpower because I'm sketched out.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Four successes.
Four successes. It's when he gives you that charming megawatt smile, you know, the smile that has people opening their wallets and has so many people deciding to spend a little bit extra time with him. You remember something from last night. It was maybe going on to 11. Zav was dancing with Cameron and they were getting hot and heavy. And, you know, like people do at a college party, when things do get hot and heavy, most definitely vanished for 15, 20 minutes before coming back to the party, looking a little bit more disheveled when they left.
Anything weird about that?
I mean, you know, Zav gets around, you know, certainly not unheard of for him. It's not like he and Lena are exclusive. You've certainly experienced that before.
Yeah, up close and personal.
But it sticks out in your head as it's another time you saw Cameron the night before.
Yeah, I'll call you, sweetheart.
Yeah, don't be a stranger.
Take the money, and as I walk out, I'm going to give him a real big old slap on the ass.
Yeah.
Tuck the cash in my bra, hop on the bike, and head off to catch the rest of these fucking losers.
Speaking of, the rest of you get to the apartment building where Leo's apartment is. Mason, you know it's on the third floor. You know it's 310. It itself is your pretty standard one-bedroom apartment. There's not a lot in this apartment. It's very Spartan's not the word, but it's of a person who doesn't have many connections. It has the requisite amount of furniture, a bookshelf with a small amount of books on it, a TV that's kind of dusty, like it doesn't get turned on very often, and a fridge that mostly has takeout and beer.
I'll, you know, open the door, let everybody in, and then immediately go to the fridge and just say, well, I think there's some Chinese here. Looks like he's got a pizza from... No, nope. We're going to ignore that. But he does have beer.
Hey, so I'm going to be really real with you. If I eat anything right now, you're going to see it again in about 10 minutes.
Fair enough. Beer it is.
Let's just find these books.
Yeah.
And I head over to the bookshelf because that's where books should be in normal world.
Yeah. Anybody who's looking for the books or anything, give me just a quick either intelligence investigation or wits awareness.
Two successes. I'm not rolling great tonight.
Four successes.
I got three successes.
Yeah. I'd say between the three of you, it takes you about 15 minutes of searching, but eventually you find a box in sort of the hallway closet. And when you open it up, there is a number of handwritten journals and what appear to be kind of tome looking things, like, you know, this is the vampire tome that Giles slaps on the table at the beginning of Buffy.
Jesus, what the fuck is this shit? All right, I guess everybody pick a book.
I look at all of this and I look excited. I think, I don't know if y'all actually care enough to remember, but Penny's study was in like folklore and stuff like that. That's what she went to school for.
Of course I remember. I'm not a bad... Well, I am a bad person. I'm not a bad friend.
Yeah, I know you go to school.
It's more like, do you remember what she majors in? Who knows? Because if you do, okay, yeah, sure, that makes sense, right? That's your special interest. And if you don't, oh, she looks a little... I look a little too excited about these books.
If you're going to take on a couple of the tomes, I'm going to take on a couple of the handwritten journals. And
sure, I'll try to decipher some of these journals and their awful handwriting, I guess.
Penny, I'm gonna need a... we'll do an intelligence academics with your specialty, and do either of you two have either occult or academics?
I have academics.
I have occult.
Okay, then you can take two extra dice from the aid action, and if you want, you can also use desperation.
I crit with six.
Six? Yeah, you quickly... There's a handwritten journal from someone named Jacob Taylor. It's about his encounter with a being that he dubbed a wraith in San Diego. Encountering, dealing with it, and... The thing that comes down to is wraiths have a connection to something in the real world. The word that's used is a fetter. Jacob said if that fetter is broken, then the wraith will be banished back to wherever it comes from.
Oh, I found it. I think I found it.
Thank God, yeah. Because I'm sitting here reading this awful, awful, just terrible passage. What do you got?
Okay. I think we're dealing with a wraith, and if we break its fetter to the real, its connection, that's what fetter is, to the real world, it should disappear.
Sounds easy enough.
What kind of thing is it?
SG, does it specify at all, or should I just be making shit up?
Like, what tends to be one of these objects?
It says that the fetter is connected to something that was important to them in life.
It says that the fetter has to be connected to something, connected to the wraith. Like it had to be important when they were alive.
So we need to find out more about this thing when it was alive. I don't remember any 14 armed fuckers walking around in Marlin Bay.
Well, that's the thing about death. It changes you.
Yeah, life does that shit too. I look back at my phone and I'm really trying to break past that block in my frickin' head. Why does he look so familiar?
Give me a intelligence technology roll.
Can I offer the aid action at all?
Do you have technology?
I have one pip in technology.
Yes, yes, you can. You can take one more for that.
I'm going to use a willpower. I'm almost out, which is fine. That shit's better. Okay, now I got 4 successes.
You know what? You, for shits and giggles, throw this into a reverse image search. It pulls up an old news article. After a year of searching, police have declared Paul Ashdown as dead. Went missing a year ago, at the end of 1962. That also jumpstarts a different thing of other big things happened in the year 1962 in Marlin Bay. Namely, it was the year that several people were murdered by a serial killer. The Marlin Bay Slasher, it's, you know, your local spooky story that all the adults tell children now, that like, you stay out too late, the slasher will get you. You don't eat all your vegetables, the slasher will get you. They even made a movie about it like 10-ish years ago, you know. It is a Scream ripoff at this point. It's one of those weird macabre things that Marlin Bay can claim, is that years ago there was a serial killer, killed 5 people and then vanished.
My blood goes fucking cold. Haven actively steps back and away from the others. Oh my fuck.
I think this is about the time that Lola will knock on the door.
Yeah.
I'll approach the door. Who is it?
Fuck off.
Yep, that'll be you. I'll open the door and let you in.
Lola, Haven, as you lovingly put it, is a pale bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some might say translucent.
Yes. It's that good old Irish breeding.
I do not go out in the sun. I am very fair. Somehow I look even paler. Like there is no blood in my face.
Why does Haven look like she's about to pass out?
Well, we may have figured out a couple big things. Haven, can you do me a favor and sit down?
I know who he is.
I'm gonna walk over, I'm gonna take Haven by the shoulders, and I'm gonna sit them down on the couch before they fall over. Who? What?
I know who he is. Who he used to be.
You mean the, and I'll make kind of the, yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, the pen. Pen figured out that it's a spirit, a wraith. Yeah, we're operating on the assumption of, we're gonna pretend, even if this sounds ridiculous, we're gonna operate under the assumption that this is real.
Yeah, no, there's really, honestly, there's really no other choice, so we're just kind of rolling with it here.
We're doing a thought experiment.
Sure.
That this is real.
Whatever you say, Haven.
They are tethered to the world by things that were important to them in life. So we were like, oh, we need to figure out who this was. Because if we destroy what tethered them to the world, they go away. I thought that this thing looked familiar. This was Paul Ashdown.
Storyteller, I haven't been in Marlin Bay for that long. Who the fuck is that?
Would be Cameron's like great uncle
of the assembled group. Penny would know off the cuff, right?
Penny would know. You would know as well as like the name would jog something in your memory.
They know the name Ashdown.
Yeah, the name Ashdown carries weight. It is important. This is like prodigal son goes missing and is declared dead.
Okay, so an Ashdown. It's an Ashdown.
Paul Ashdown, he went missing at the end of 1962. Later declared dead. 1962 was the year of the Marlin Bay slasher. Killed 5 people in town.
Wait, that shit was real?
Yeah.
I thought it was just a shitty B-movie.
You can believe in vampires, but you can't believe a serial killer.
Listen, all the shit I heard about it was like overblown as fuck. Can you blame me? Come on.
That's what they did with serial killers in the frickin' 60s.
Gross. Sorry. Anyway, so what you think he was the fucking slasher or one of the victims? What's the deal?
Could have been either, but I show the picture versus the newspaper article.
Get kind of like close and like squint. Oh yeah, no, that is definitely that motherfucker.
Well, you know, you scrunch your face when you look real close. You look like you age about 30 years when you do that.
Go fuck yourself, Mason.
Cool.
Storytelling.
Yeah.
Question, and I'll make a roll for it if I need to. What year was the tree donated? The dead tree, the Ashdown tree.
You remember Julian telling you this literally this morning.
And I just slapped the book on the table and point at everyone as if we're supposed to sink right now, and just kind of wave my hand around, just be like, the tree, Ashdown tree, that was donated in like 62, 63.
Are you saying we have to torch a tree?
We need to torch a fucking landmark?
A very famous tree in this town.
I mean,
it open and see if there's actually a body there.
Listen, it's been a really dry couple of months. The shit lights on fire all the time. There's shitheads that run around with fucking bottle rockets all over that park.
Or frickin' road flares. And I look at Mason, who should still have one in his pocket.
I'll look back and say, listen, I've done some worse shit. If you want me to go light a fucking tree on fire, I'll just go do it. Like, whatever.
How do we know that that's the object? It could just be a coincidence.
We should dig around.
Literally dig around?
No. I mean, no.
Yeah, I mean, probably. Figuratively and like literally, probably.
We gotta do some research. At the very least, we gotta get into the Ashdowns' house. Which. Fuck. That should be pretty easy.
About, listen, some of you aren't gonna be as weird walking in there as like I would, but what about like the fucking library or something?
I'm saying it's going to be easy to get into the Ashdowns because there is going to be a wake or a funeral very soon.
Oh, that feels real gross.
Me and Penn were classmates. If you go in with us, no one's really going to think twice about it.
Fuck. I'm really trying to find
the flaw in the plan.
I'm trying to find the fucking flaw that'll say this is a stupid fucking idea, but
oh, it's almost like I'm the smartest fucker in the room.
There's that self-congratulatory,
right?
Haven,
alright, you fucking arrogant bitch.
When have I not lived up to it?
It doesn't make it any less infuriating.
It's arrogance when it's wrong.
I mean, it is wrong.
No, it's arrogance when you're an asshole about it.
Plus, it's wrong when you only think to grab one box of cereal when you go out for groceries. Maybe pick up a second one and...
I'm one damn person!
Yeah, but you're getting food for a couple people. That's a little self-serving.
Okay, so we're crashing a fucking wake is what I'm hearing.
Well, I won't be crashing. And Penn won't be crashing.
Okay, well, we could always leave it to you if you'd rather.
No, I don't like getting my hands dirty.
Of course you don't.
I got a manicure to maintain, babe.
I guess that's my cue.
We should do our due diligence before we set a tree in the center of town on fire. So,
yeah. Yep.
But
yep.
The library is also probably a good place to start. See if we can figure out anything that might have been precious to Mr. Ashdown in life. And also figure out why Cameron? I can understand why Julian. Tying up loose ends. But why Cameron?
Well, Julian only makes sense when Cameron makes sense.
He'll make sense in the greater context. You know what I mean?
But Cameron is what started all of this. For whatever reason, there was a target on her back.
Hey, Penn.
Yeah.
Can wraiths be, like, controlled? You know, they're like a supernatural gun you can just point at somebody and say, go kill them. Like, is that the idea here?
Storyteller, what's my role? Give me that.
I will give you that it's theoretically possible. There are a lot of supernatural things that can do weird things. Weird, spooky things. Theoretically controlling a wraith is possible.
Well, theoretically, there's a lot of supernatural things can do weird things, and it's even weirder when people are involved. And I say that as in this case, a wraith was a person. It's kind of like the leftover bits, or the specific bits.
Yeah, like the murderous intention, apparently.
It could have been that. Angry spirits are angry for different reasons. My dad used to tell me about all these sorts of yokai, which are just Japanese spirits, basically. And there's tons of them. And they all have very specific ways of existing. A lot of them have to do with stupid old men.
That doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
But yeah. Again, death changes you.
Hey, Haven. Would it be too much to maybe have been trying to track Cameron's phone during all of this?
I was running it on my laptop in the background. Like I said, it's a pretty beefy laptop. The issue is, I definitely encrypted Cameron's phone almost as much as I encrypted my own. So it took a little bit, but it is chugging.
Yeah, give me one more global access roll.
That is
that a good shit?
Five successes?
Yeah, it's at that moment that the encryption is done and you have the location of Cameron's phone.
Okay, so as I'm trying to figure out what might be going on with the funeral and what the library might have for public records and newspaper articles, my laptop just goes da-dum, and I hurry over and I lean over the table, hitting a couple buttons. Got it.
The phone is in Ashdown Manor.
In my bed, so